It does protect you against severe illness, and that is going to be very important in terms of life saving.
India begins ambitious vaccination plan. It's Tuesday, January 5th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We're online as well at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, China looks for vaccine goodwill, a slow U.S. virus response, valuing Vietnam's currency, less press freedom, and viewing real images. It's all on today's VOA Asia. India has granted emergency approval to two vaccines for COVID-19, and that's setting the stage for what could be the world's largest immunization program. As Anjana Pasricha reports from New Delhi, this raises hopes of bringing the pandemic under control in a country where the daily count of new infections has been declining in recent weeks.
The first doses will start reaching recipients in India sometime this month, following the emergency authorization granted to the British-developed AstraZeneca vaccine that is being produced by the Serum Institute of India and one called Covaxin, developed by a domestic company, Bharat Biotech. Prime Minister Narendra Modi called the development a decisive turning point to strengthen a spirited fight. The country has set the ambitious target of immunizing 300 million people by August. Healthcare workers, security personnel, those over 50 years of age, and the clinically vulnerable. It has been preparing cold storage facilities and training health workers to administer the shots for what could be the world's largest immunization programs for the outbreak.
The preparations have been fully made. The logistics have been worked out with the different state governments. It all depends, of course, on the availability of vaccine in terms of the volume and in terms of the health workforce that is available.
The delivery system was tested with a nationwide dry run on Saturday.
Our arrangements are satisfactory. We have waiting room, our vaccination room, and monitoring area.
India starts with an advantage. More than 50 million doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine have been stockpiled by the Serum Institute, the world's largest vaccine manufacturer. But questions have been raised over lack of adequate data for the domestically developed vaccine that is still undergoing stage 3 trials. Health experts, however, are optimistic. They say the vaccines will afford protection even from the highly transmissible mutant strain from Britain. About 30 such cases have raised worries at a time when new infections have been declining. The coronavirus causes the COVID-19 disease.
The virus will not be able to evade those vaccine-induced immune mechanisms. So it is unlikely that there should be any significant problem over there.
The vaccines bring hope to a country where the virus has infected more than 10 million people and claimed nearly 150,000 lives. The country of 1.3 billion has the world's second largest number of cases.
It does protect you against severe illness, and that is going to be very important in terms of not only life saving, but even younger people have been now known, even if they do not manifest many symptoms, to still suffer silent damage to their lungs and heart.
Both vaccines can be stored in refrigerators and are more affordable compared to those by Pfizer and Moderna. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
You'll find much more on this and other stories when you follow us online at Twitter at VOA Asia. Another great place to visit is voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Japan might declare Tokyo state of emergency amid COVID-19 surge. India bars virus vaccine maker from exporting doses. U.S. blames Taliban for plotting Afghan assassinations. South Korean population declined for first time in 2020. China-Vietnam border wall would target smugglers, Chinese economic refugees. Expanded coverage of these stories and more can be found on Facebook at VOA Asia. We also invite you to stop by the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. The Chinese supply of a COVID-19 vaccine to Indonesia and the Philippines is likely to strengthen Beijing's image in those countries, despite current resentment of its expansion in the South China Sea. That is, if the vaccines work. Both countries have moved to order vaccines made by Sinovac Biotech, a Beijing-based pharmaceutical company, according to Asia media reports and the company's website. China's official Xinhua news agency in October had called it crucial to distribute vaccines around the world, not just the wealthy nations. Indonesia and the Philippines have a combined population of 375 million, and people in both countries resent Chinese expansion in the 3.5 million square kilometer South China Sea, where sovereignty claims overlap. China, with Asia's strongest military, has built up islands that the Philippines claims, and pass ships through waters that Jakarta says fall within an Indonesian exclusive economic zone. The sea is prized for fisheries and undersea energy reserves. China is keen to be seen as a good neighbor abroad and to minimize U.S. geopolitical influence. Analysts like Aaron Rabina, research fellow at the Asia-Pacific Pathways to Progress Foundation in Metro Manila, say China could gain favor in Southeast Asia's two biggest countries if the vaccines work, reach remote parts of each archipelago in due time, and don't cost too much.
If it turns out to be good, effective, safe, affordable, then I guess that might change to a certain extent the perceptions here.
Filipinos, including some in the armed forces, have distrusted China since a 2012 standoff over Scarborough Shoal in the contested sea. Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte has sought to mend ties since he took office in 2016. He indicated last year that he would prioritize Chinese vaccines along with possible shipments from Russia. The Philippines was aiming as of mid-December to end negotiations with Sinovac to get 25 million doses by March. For Indonesia, Sinovac has committed to supply a bulk vaccine, so state-run vaccine maker PT Biopharma can produce at least 40 million doses before March. The Jakarta Post reported on December 6th, Sinovac shipped 1.2 million doses to Jakarta for storage at a nearby PT Biopharma warehouse. Indonesia has placed firm orders for about 160 million vaccine doses, 140 million of which are manufactured by Sinovac Biotech, the Post added. Anti-China sentiment flared up before the shipment, and some Indonesians worry the vaccines will be unhealthy, says Paramita Supamijodo, an international relations lecturer at Bina Nusantara University in Jakarta.
At the beginning, there was a big debate of why we need to get from China. And there was big distrust among the people. And this kind of anti-China sentiment is still very strong.
Indonesia's Food and Drug Monitoring Agency plans to visit Sinovac facilities in Beijing to ensure good manufacturing practice. PT Biopharma officials defend a price of $13.57 U.S. per dose. The Chinese state-supervised Global Times news website said in November that leaders around Southeast Asia had lauded Chinese vaccines as accessible and affordable. Indonesians are spread across 13,000 islands. Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte, though, may be holding out for U.S.-made Pfizer vaccines in case Sinovac's remedy only prevents COVID-19 half the time, says Eduardo Arrel, associate professor at the National University of Singapore's Public Policy School.
I think Duterte is hedging that with an efficacy rate. Why would anyone choose the Sinovac if the Pfizer vaccine is also coming?
Research in Brazil showed last month that Sinovac's product was at least 50% effective. Pfizer said in November its vaccine candidate was found to be more than 90% effective. Duterte reiterated in November he would go ahead with a long-threatened cancellation of the U.S. Visiting Forces Agreement, which gives U.S. troops access to the Philippines with few restrictions, if the United States cannot deliver at least 20 million vaccine doses. The Philippines has looked to the United States as a key defense ally since the 1950s. Although coronavirus caseloads in the Philippines have fallen since a peak in August, discovery of a virus variant from Britain prompted quarantine orders in Metro Manila and nine other parts of the country through January 30th. The Philippines has recorded about 474,000 cases and more than 9,200 deaths. Indonesia's COVID-19 cases are still growing steadily. The country, with Southeast Asia's largest population, reports around 743,000 cases and more than 22,000 deaths. Indonesia is also looking for vaccine sources outside of China. Ralph Jennings in Taipei has been watching developments closely, and we thank him for this report. Happening now in Asia, a South Korean flag tanker was seized in the Strait of Hormuz by Iranian forces, according to Iranian media Monday, further escalating tensions in the Middle East between Tehran and the West. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad you're spending part of your day with us on VOA Asia. The United States fell far short of its goal to vaccinate 20 million people against COVID-19 by the end of December, but the pace of vaccinations is picking up. We hear more from Michelle Quinn.
More than 350,000. That is the number of people in the U.S. who have died from COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus. That is about one-fifth of the worldwide deaths from the illness. President Donald Trump said on Twitter that the numbers of COVID-19 cases and deaths in the U.S. are exaggerated because of the way the country determines cases. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the U.S. top infectious disease expert, disagrees.
Well, the deaths are real deaths. I mean, all you need to do is to go out into the trenches, go to the hospitals, see what the healthcare workers are dealing with. They are under very stressed situations.
The effort to vaccinate people has stumbled. As of December 31st, about 2.8 million people had been vaccinated, a fraction of the goal of 20 million the government had set. A miscalculation about the supply of vaccines and a lack of coordination among federal, state, and local governments are at fault.
You have to have a real interaction, a real partnership between the federal government and the states. That's what we're trying to do. Hopefully that will then materialize as we get into the beginning of this year.
President Trump has said that the federal government has distributed vaccines, but states have to speed up administering the shots. The virus and the vaccination campaign. It's a race the U.S. hopes to win in the new year. Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see with links to find them easily. With VOA Asia, you can also follow radio program host VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga stressed that the Summer Olympics in Tokyo must be held despite the country being on the brink of declaring a state of emergency due to the rise in COVID-19 cases. This and many more stories are on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As we continue with VOA Asia, analysts are saying the U.S. designation of Vietnam as a currency manipulator will end up spurring talks between the two countries that could result in Vietnam buying more U.S. goods or reducing government intervention in the foreign exchange rate. The designation in December came about because the U.S. Treasury Department determined, according to its semi-annual report on major U.S. trading partners' macroeconomic and foreign exchange policies, that Vietnam, as well as Switzerland, is a currency manipulator. The department determined that Vietnam's currency was undervalued by 4.7% in 2019. Vietnam's central bank rejected the U.S. accusation that it manipulates its currency. In announcing the decision, Treasury said it had found each country's exchange policies over the past year through June were at least partly aimed at preventing effective balance of payments adjustments and, in the case of Vietnam, for gaining unfair competitive advantage in international trade as well. In announcing the decision, Treasury said it would follow up the report with talks to include urging steps to address the causes of currency undervaluation. Rajiv Biswas is a senior regional economist with IHS Market, a London-based market analysis firm.
Basically, it'll now be a period when the U.S. will have discussions with Vietnam to try to resolve this situation. They won't immediately just start taking action in terms of policy measures.
Vietnam had racked up a trade surplus of $54.4 billion in 2019, another irritant to the United States. Vietnam's low exchange rate means Vietnamese companies selling goods to the United States earned more Vietnamese dong from the dollars they received from U.S. customers, while American exporters would pay more to exchange dong. Experts say Vietnam and the United States are expected to reach a currency-related agreement at some point this year. The two sides get along politically today, despite old baggage from their war that ended in the 1970s. As part of a deal, Hanoi might agree to buy more U.S. goods or intervene less in its foreign exchange rate and let the free market decide. Inaction by Vietnam could prompt U.S. officials to levy import tariffs. About a quarter of Vietnam's economy rests on exports, the result of low manufacturing costs and government incentives to promote foreign investments by the likes of Ford, Intel, and Samsung Electronics. Vietnamese exports include smartphones as well as garments, shoes, and automotive parts. The United States was Vietnam's top trading partner in 2019 in both imports and exports. In February 2019, Vietnam-based budget carrier Vietjet Air agreed with U.S. aircraft manufacturer Boeing to buy 100 additional 737 MAX planes. Jack Nguyen is a partner at the business advisory firm Mazars in Ho Chi Minh City.
Once Boeing gets its MAX planes in order, they now will order more. We made a huge order to Boeing, so we're trying to balance the trade.
The United States dubbed China a manipulator in August 2019, but removed that label in January last year after China agreed to an initial trade deal auguring well for American businesses. Other countries labeled currency manipulators have patched things up with the United States by agreeing to buy American products. Taiwan, for example, was reportedly planning more purchases of U.S. goods late in 2019 to reduce its U.S. trade surplus and avoid being labeled a manipulator. Hanoi and Washington will probably start talks toward an enhanced bilateral agreement, calling on Vietnam to do something with its currency rate and address any significantly large trade surplus with the United States. SSI Research of Hanoi said Vietnam's central bank has said it's willing to work with Washington. Song Sen Woon, an economist in the private banking unit of Malaysian bank CIMB, says for the U.S. side,
this is perhaps just a little sort of warning to Vietnam to not enjoy the benefit of supply chain too much.
Vietnam likely will find it hard to snap up a lot of American imports or bring down the trade gap in the near term, so it would be easier for now to intervene less in the foreign exchange rate. China, like Vietnam, depends heavily on manufactured exports, and its communist government controls the currency exchange rate. China and the United States are separately entrenched in a trade dispute that has sent tariffs soaring on both sides since 2018. Scholars watching events believe U.S. President Donald Trump is not personally targeting Vietnam, although American officials are warily watching Vietnam as a place where China-based factories have relocated to avoid tariffs tied to the Sino-U.S. trade dispute. Our thanks to Ralph Jennings in Taipei for monitoring and sharing this story.
There is no current evidence that dogs can be infected. Hand washing after contact with all animals is recommended. This protects against other bacteria, such as E. coli and Salmonella, that can pass between animals and humans. For more information, visit www.who.int or www.cdc.gov.
Now on VOA Asia, journalists have been facing increased threats in many parts of Asia, and in China especially, which we highlighted during yesterday's VOA Asia program. But the situation is escalating in the West, where press freedom has been traditionally considered to be very good.
Journalists in Britain say they are facing an increasingly hostile atmosphere, with intimidation, physical assault, and online abuse now seen as routine and, quote, part of the job. Henry Ridgewell reports from London.
Britain's National Union of Journalists surveyed its members on their experiences of intimidation and abuse. More than three-quarters of respondents agreed that it has become normalised and seen as part of the job. Some 51% reported receiving abuse online, with women and ethnic minorities particularly targeted.
If you're being threatened with rape, if you're being threatened with grotesque violence, if your family members, your children are being threatened over social media, you can't simply think, don't feed the trolls, don't engage with it. You have to take those threats very seriously. And even if you weren't, the very fact that this content is appearing in your life, in your home, is incredibly unsettling, and it's affecting people's mental health and their well-being.
One in five respondents said they had been physically attacked. Journalists in Northern Ireland reported increasing threats and assaults. The killing of 29-year-old Lyra McKee, who was shot dead as she reported on rioting in the city of Derry in 2019, underlined the ongoing dangers that journalists face in the region. Many respondents said that abuse and intimidation had worsened under the coronavirus pandemic, especially during public demonstrations and protests.
Having their camera equipment targeted and damaged, and in some instances being physically assaulted.
Many of those surveyed blamed politicians for stoking a hostile climate for media.
Some of the rhetoric we've seen targeting the work of journalists, dismissing stories that don't meet with their approval as fake news, attacking so-called campaigning newspapers. It's made the climate, I feel, very much, particularly challenging for people who are simply trying to do their jobs.
The British government says it is considering new legislation requiring social media companies to take responsibility for threatening and abusive material on their platforms. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
With manipulated images flooding the internet, how can we tell what's true? Matt Dibble looks at one solution, a digital seal of authenticity.
The rapid advances in artificial intelligence and photo editing software are making it nearly impossible to tell the difference between a real and fake image online.
Instead of trying to detect what's fake, you try to prove what's real.
Sharif Hanna is the vice president of research and development for TruePic. TruePic makes software that tags photos with a unique signature to help authenticate them in the future. Now they've partnered with chipmaker Qualcomm to embed the technology on the same secure chip that handles fingerprint recognition on smartphones.
We produce these photos that essentially have a seal on them. If anybody was to modify anything about the photos, whether the pixels, the date and time, the location where it was captured, that seal would be broken, essentially, and we would be able to know that that file has been modified since the time of capture.
In addition to location and time of capture, the system also embeds a 3D depth map of the scene in front of the lens. Later, a viewer can access all this information along with a log of any changes made to the photo.
So you have full transparency of exactly, you know, what happened from the time that light entered into the camera to then light coming out of the display essentially into your eyes.
TruePic is collaborating with Microsoft, Adobe, and media organizations on open source software they hope will eventually be included in every browser and app that displays photos.
If we were to look out on a 10-year horizon, we expect that any photo or video will come with proof of its authenticity,
making fake images easier to spot. Matt Dibble for VOA News, San Francisco.
That's our program for today. Thanks for joining us on VOA Asia. You may continue online. We're on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook, all at VOA Asia. We also thank those who helped bring the program to you, Managing Editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a terrific day ahead. Be safe. Be well.